Matthew 7 is one of the most popular and quoted of all Bible verses. People quote it in our society without even knowing it. We say things like, don't judge me. Right? You ever say that? Don't judge me. Unfortunately, a lot of times when we use this passage, we miss the point in a very ironic way. I'm going to just take a moment and look at what Jesus is saying here, and I'm going to illustrate it, because Jesus is being funny. Did you know Jesus could be funny? He is. Okay. All right. So he says here, do not judge so that you may not be judged, so on. I already yada-yadded over Jesus' words once this week. I'm not going to do that again, but we're just going to go to verse 3. Don't do that. He says, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, when all the while you have a log or a plank in your own? It's funny, right? You have a speck in your eye. I don't think you want me right now to get that out for you, right? This is what Jesus is illustrating, okay? That you're walking around like this with a log. Excuse me. Ooh. You're walking around with a log, and you're going up to someone saying, hey, you got a speck in your eye. It's funny. It really is, right? If Jesus was a little slapstick humor, didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? But here's the thing. A lot of times we use it in the opposite way, okay? So we'll say to someone else, am I okay here? I'm good? Okay. I can't find my contact now. We'll say, hey, you know, stop talking about the speck in my eye when you've got a log in your own eye, right? We use it on other people, and you see how ironic that is, right? Because Jesus very clearly says, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? You are the one that has the log, or if I really want to be, I am the one that has the log in my eye. How many of you have been walking around all week or even this morning, either up here or with your mouth, pointing out the specks in everyone else's eye, all the while you were just walking around like this, a big log in your own eye? There's another misconception, I think, or misreading of this, or how it's used in our society. Sometimes we read this verse and kind of take it to mean, oh, we all have our stuff. You know, just let it go. Everyone, you know, to each his own and whatever. You realize there's a log in your eye, right? Like, that's not okay. Jesus says, remove the log and then remove the speck. Okay, so Jesus isn't just saying, hey, make no value judgments. Everything's okay. Don't judge. Judging, in Jesus' terms, is not about saying that something is good or bad. Obviously, the log is bad. This verse is about where to start as we seek godliness, as we seek transformation, as we seek the kingdom of God coming in the world. So I wanted to introduce you then to another aspect of natural church development, which is what we are talking about in this Easter series. And it's the whole process of NCD. And it goes like this. I, we, they, all. Can you all say that? I, we, they, all. One more time, just to make sure. I, we, they, all. And so what this means is, I'll explain it a couple ways, that when we're looking for transformation, transformation begins with what we call I work. I work. It doesn't mean I have to focus on myself first and go to the spa before I can do anything else, okay? Well, you know, sometimes the spa can be good. It's I work. It begins with I work. And once we're involved in this process of self-examination and trying to figure out what is this log and how do I get it out, then we can start to move to we work. WeWork is about the church. It's about our community together. Last week we talked about cultivating our souls. That's I work. Cultivating the community of souls is we work. And then as we're involved in that process, then we can start, we have a good foundation for doing they work. And they in this are those who are in need, who we want to reach. That's the they. And then we can go a step further into all, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But you see the foundation that has to be set for any of this work. Now, hear me saying, as we went through this, I didn't say you have to get it all together, yourself all together, before we get to the we, right? And we have to be a perfect church before we get to the they, right? I didn't say that. But we have to start the process here with the log. All right, so another way of illustrating it. Start over here with the I work. And as we are each experiencing the transforming power of God in our lives are changing by the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are growing up by the Spirit in our lives. That starts to then form a healthy, strong, growing we. And we can look at the ways we are interacting together, our relationships. How is our community health? How is God at work in our community? And then we can start to look outward at the they. The they might be kids in our community, in our neighborhood, who don't have a church and maybe don't have a safe and secure home life, who might have needs of various kinds. Then, but if we do the they work without doing the I and the we work, we're just bringing kids, in this case, into more dysfunction, into more unhealth, into a place where they don't see the Spirit of God moving. And then there's the all, which is all of those other people who might be interested in helping and serving kids in our neighborhood. We can start to build connections with them and networks to serve the they really well. And hopefully those other all are doing the I work and the we work as well. See how this all? Any questions about this process? Or at least the order? Say it again together. I, we, they, all true transformation is built on I work. Begins with I work. Natural church development, this process that we're going through, is about doing the I work and the we work. It's not about the they work yet. It's about the I work and the we work. Looking at ourselves and in our community to see what are the places, what are the logs that we're walking around with? Where are the places where we need to be healthier so that when other folks enter into our community and enter into the we, they're seeing God's transforming power at work? Now here's the thing. Most of us are most likely to avoid the I work and the we work. That is the work that we least want to do, right? Most of us think backwards. Okay, yeah, there we go. So our first inclination, if we see a they that's in need, our first inclination is to say, well, someone should take care of that. The all, right? You know, why didn't the government take care of them? Or why don't this organization take care of them? Or, you know, that other church is bigger than ours. Why don't they take care of them? Right? So our first inclination is to externalize the solution, you know, to the all. Or then maybe if we're a bit more industrious, we might say, all right, let's do it. Let's go get the they, right? We're going to fix this. We're going to be the saviors and all that. But remember, we just talked about if we're not healthy, if we're not, if the God is not, we're not letting God into our own lives, then what are we going to do for the they? And then, so then we'll say, so we need to change. The church needs to change a little bit. We need to fix a couple things here and there. The problem's not me, the problem is the church. The church needs to change. And then finally, our last resort, if none of those work, maybe okay, well, maybe the problem's here. Maybe we can do this. But the point is that we reverse the process that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. We reverse it. And I'm not an architect, but I do find myself playing a lot with blocks lately. I don't know. This is not the kind of structure that's going to last, at least with Asher around. No structures are really going to last with Asher around. But this is not a stable, healthy, lasting structure. It's got to be the other way around, wherever that is. There we go. That, the I, we, they, all. But the problem is the more personal it gets, the harder it gets, and the more we want to avoid it. Because it's the scarier it gets. I work brings out our fears. When it's all out there, we don't have to, there's no fear in being able to look and say, hey, someone should take care of that. There's nothing we should be afraid of. When we look in here, what are our fears? What are the fears that keep us from eye work? A few. I think first of all is it affects my pride. If I'm doing eye work and I'm seeing the logs that I'm carrying around, I don't get to be the hero of all of my stories. Notice that sometimes. The stories you tell, who's the hero of all your stories? Are you the hero of all your stories that you tell? You tell someone else a story, it's about, oh, they cut me, I was doing a great job driving. And all of a sudden, they did that. Or, you know, notice the stories you tell. Are you the hero in all your stories? Well, when you're doing the eye work and seeing the log, uh-oh, all of a sudden, I'm not the hero of all my stories. I might have to tell a story where I'm the one who cut someone else off because I wasn't paying attention. I had a good excuse for it, mind you, but I was the one who cut someone else off, right? So the eye work, we're afraid that our pride is going to be hurt. We're afraid because it might reveal that we need someone else's help. It makes us vulnerable. We might be afraid because we think if someone knows about this log, we might be punished for it in some way. It's guilt. We might be afraid that if we were honest about the logs that we're carrying around and other people could see it, that we might be rejected. And so there's a fear of that comes from shame and our desire to hide. And to be honest, a lot of these fears are really valid. And they're probably, for some of you, rooted in experiences that you have had of being rejected, of being punished for something you did wrong, of being taken advantage of when you were in need, of being devalued, not just having your pride broken, but your worth torn apart. All of these are the reasons that we avoid the eye work, and they're really good reasons. Because those things do happen. But. And for me, but is a little three-letter word is my favorite gospel word. But God. But for grace. Paul has a really important word for us in 2 Corinthians 12. There it is. Paul has a problem. He has a kind of log. He calls it a thorn. Thorn in his flesh. And he says, I ask God to take it away. He says, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Maybe Paul wanted it to be taken away because he was uncomfortable with it. Maybe he was embarrassed by it. Maybe people were making fun of him. And if we read 2 Corinthians 12, we know that people were. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. But all things are possible with God, Jesus says. But by grace we have been saved. We were once strangers and exiles in our sin, Paul says, but in Christ we have been brought near. In Christ we have been reconciled to God. And Paul says, and this sounds a little crazy, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. In some crazy way, in some crazy gospel way, it actually is when we are able to be open about our sin and weakness that God is most present. Paul, this is a statement of freedom. How many of you can say, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses? How many of you say, I'm going to just tell the world all the things I stink at? I'm going to just shout from a rooftop all of the things I have done wrong, all of the ways I've hurt other people, all of the habits and patterns in my life that bring harm to myself and others. I'm just going to shout it out. I'm going to boast about it. How many of you can say that? That, friends, is a statement of freedom. Of someone who understands the but of the gospel. But for God. But by grace we have been saved. But on the cross, Jesus, in showing God to us, didn't fight back, received, absorbed our sin. But the tomb was empty, and there was resurrection and hope for all of us who participated in Christ's death in one way or another. There is hope. So here's the thing. If we don't do the I work, what Jesus tells us to do about taking that log and taking it out of our eye. By the way, if you're carrying a log around in your eye, you ain't hiding it from anyone, right? Certainly not God, but probably no one else, right? If we don't do the I work, if we are intent on covering up our sin and our weakness and our vulnerability, we will not be engaged in the process of transformation. And here's the problem with that. One is, we can never do the they work. Because the world will never see the power of God in our weaknesses and the grace of God in our sin. If we are just trying to present ourselves as people who have it pretty much put together and just kind of need Jesus, then the world is going to be like, well, yeah, maybe Jesus is good enough for them, but me? The things I've done. Things I think in my mind and feel in my heart. They're not going to realize that God's grace is so big and so welcoming to anyone. They will only know that if we talk about the things that God has forgiven in our lives. The vastness of our sin and need for God. So that other people can see that God's grace is far bigger than they could have imagined. So if we don't do the I work, the world doesn't get to see the magnitude of God's grace. But even more, or not even more, but also, you and I are keeping ourselves from being able to experience God's grace and power. Because that's where God works. When we are able to say, here's my heart. Make yourself at home. Walk right in. Right? That's when God's grace and power really works. That's when we get to have a testimony. When we get to say, well, this and this and this about my life, but God. That's when the gospel story comes to life. That's when resurrection isn't just something that happened a long time ago, but something that is happening in my life now. When we do the I work and when we open up our sin and our weakness to God and to one another. Ultimately, because we need each other for it. The gospel, the but God, is what frees us to do the I work. And maybe one day we'll be like Paul and boast in our weaknesses. Because all our weaknesses show is how much power God has to change our lives. If you do eye work, yes, you will start to see things in your life and in our church that are not pleasant. Yes, we will find things in our lives and in the church that we are not or have not done well. But we get to make those discoveries, hopefully, in an atmosphere of grace. In an atmosphere of liberation, of other people who are doing that work and being able to say, yeah, I've got a log too. Of people who can sing with that old hymn, my sin, oh the bliss of that, this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's what we sing as a community. And so let's begin at the beginning with the I work, doing it together in an atmosphere of grace. In Lent, I did some I work. Lent is a great season for I work, and just share you a very practical thing that you can do to do some I work of your own. Before bed, I would sit and just take a few minutes to think about my day. And I would think about not just the events of the day, but the emotions that I experienced during the day. Some of them are good, and we thank God, and you know, I would thank God for those. And some of them, I would say, okay. I was angry at some point today. Why? Why was I angry? I felt despair or frustration at some point. Why did I feel frustration and disappointment? And I would just ask God to help me to see what was going on there. This is called examine. It's an ancient practice in its simplest form. And I thought today I would just share with you a few of those things that I, a few of those logs that I saw myself over the season before Easter. I recognized one night that when something doesn't come naturally to me, isn't just a gift that I have a tendency to stop and not go there and not do it, just go somewhere else to something that comes more naturally to me. I realized one day that I like to make it clear to people when I'm feeling burdened by them. When I've been interrupted, I like to make that clear to someone else. Whatever their need is, I want them to know that I am making a sacrifice to take time out of my important things to help you. I realized one day that I have a fear of letting go of judgment. I realized I kind of like having judgment in my back pocket that I can hold over someone else. I recognize that I have a tendency to put myself in the Savior role and not rely on God. I'll stop there for this morning, if you're all right with that. Those are just some of my logs. I could go a lot longer than that, but I'm sharing them with you, and it is not comfortable to share those with you. I feel kind of vulnerable. Right now, I went back and forth on whether that was a good idea, and, well, it's done now, so. I wanted to share it with you, though, because of my conviction of grace. That I may not be Paul, but at some level I can boast in my weaknesses and my sin, because I believe that I've been saved by God's grace. And when Jesus died on the cross, my sin was nailed to it with him. And I don't bear it anymore. And hopefully, if you can see that in my life, then you might be willing to go there too. To the vulnerable place of doing I work. So that you can see the power and feel the profound power of God's grace at work in your life. And so that other people can look at you and say, wow, if God's grace is big enough for them, maybe there's a place for me too. Let's pray. it is by grace that we have been saved, and not by works. Oh God, we're not here because we have it all together. We're here because each one of us needs your grace and needs your power and strength. And I pray, God, that you would release us from the fears that keep us walking around with these big logs, heavy logs we're dragging around, and keep us from seeing you clearly and keep us from seeing the world clearly. Give us the courage and the conviction that you are a gracious God. You are the Father who welcomes us back home. You are the one who would rather die than see us perish. We ask that our lives and our church would be a humble and honest place where your grace and your power are evident. We ask this in the powerful and gracious name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.